Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's Word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Well, you can take your seats and get your Bibles out if you would, and open them up to Psalm 81. If you came expecting to hear Pastor Matt this morning, I'm the guy who's got a little more hair, and I'm just glad to be able to be here. I get the privilege to serve as one of your elders here in the church. You've been going through a lot, and God has been doing some amazing things, and new elders are coming and all of the rest of it. But to serve your church is a great pleasure for me. And to open the Word of God in your church today is an even greater privilege. I want to talk about a message that I've entitled Strength for the Journey. Strength for the Journey. Do you ever find yourself saying, Lord, give me strength. Just give me strength. Maybe you're a mom and the kids are going back to school tomorrow. And you're just all week, which is, Lord, just give me strength. Just give me strength for one more week. Just give me strength. Now, I know most of you, your children are angels, and so you don't really have that as a challenge for you. But, you know, maybe there are other things in your life, and your cry is, Lord, give me strength. We live in a world that centers around accomplishment and success based on our doing. I do, I serve, I work harder. That's so counterproductive to what the Word of God teaches and what we are supposed to be like in Jesus Christ. And so if I was to put this message down to one sentence, I would say it like this: I can't do it, Lord. I need your strength. I can't do it, Lord. I need your strength. Well, what is that it? I can't do it, Lord. What is that it in your life today? I can't do it. My wife's not with me today. And when I heard a phone ring there, I thought, oh no, that's my phone going off. And it wasn't. I felt way better about that because I turned mine off. My wife travels with me virtually all the time. She's not feeling too well today, so she stayed home. But it's like, what do I do with my keys? What do I do with my phone? What do I do with, like, she is my salvation in those things. And that phone ringing just kind of made my heart flutter a little bit. But so thank you for whoever did that to me this morning. What is your it? I can't do it, Lord. I need strength. Maybe there's something that's happening in your marriage right now. And you're like, I can't, Lord. I can't do it. I can't. I'm trying. I'm striving. I can't do it. Maybe it's with one of your kids or in your family. And I can't, Lord, I just can't do it anymore. I can't do it. I need strength. And maybe it's in a school, maybe it's in a relationship, maybe it's in a relationship that you've had or developed and you're going through something and you need faith to step out and do something in that relationship. And you're like, I can't, I've tried, I'm ready to give up. I can't do it, Lord. I need strength. Maybe it's in your finances. Maybe it's a health report you got back. I remember when I was first studying this text a year or so ago, one of my pastor friends had just had a brother who committed suicide. And I thought a lot about him. I can't, Lord, I can't do it. His brother didn't know the Lord. Brother didn't want to know the Lord. And yet, as a pastor, he's going to have to say some things and make some statements. And I can't do it, Lord. It's too much. Give me strength. The psalmist in Psalm 81 gives us some tools, I think, to help us with this. And I love the very first words that he says because it changes my perspective on that whole request. So let me read it for you. Psalm 81. Listen as I read Psalm 81. Sing aloud to God our strength. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob. Raise a song. Sound the tambourine, the sweet lyre with the harp. Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon on our feast. For it is a statute for Israel, a rule of the God of Jacob. He made it a decree in Joseph when he went out over the land of Egypt. I hear a language I had not known. I relieved your shoulder of the burden, your hand with was freed from the basket. In distress, you called and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, while I admonish you, O Israel, if you would but listen to me. There shall be no strange god among you. You shall not bow down to foreign god. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me. Wow, there's words for us. That Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe toward him, and their fate would last forever. But he would feed you with the finest of the wheat and with the honey from the rock. I would satisfy you. I want us to take a look at a few principles today coming out of that I trust will be an encouragement and a help for you, but really focusing around this first principle, strength for the journey, we need strength for the journey, comes from recognizing the source of our strength. Strength from the journey comes from recognizing the source of our strength. Now, the reality is this text really takes us to worship, and you could preach this whole message as a message about worship, but I want to take a minute and stop here and focus on these words that the writer starts with, that Asaph was a songwriter. He was a spiritual leader. He wrote a number of the Psalms. I preached here in the summer from Psalm 73. Asaph wrote that Psalm. He wrote this Psalm. I love some of his material, the things that he has written. These were songs for them, and he's written this one for them, and he starts out by recognizing the source of our strength. This is the what part of the passage. We're going to get to the how in a few minutes, but this is the what part. Look what it says in verse 1. Sing aloud to God our strength. I always find myself asking God for strength. Lord, would you give me strength? Lord, would you give me strength? And I'm going to show you that that's not wrong in and of itself, but Scripture has a bit of a different theme that we can see where it focuses us on God is our strength. And instead of asking God to give me something for the doing, rather I trust God for who he is and all that he has accomplished. I don't need more strength. I need more of him. I don't need more, I can do it. I need more of, he will do it. Let me give you some scriptures just to help you see this so that you're not going, is he just splitting hairs on that? I really don't believe I am. I think it's an important thing. And most of us are try harder kind of people. And that's the world we live in. And we need to get our focus on something very different. And that's on the character of God that we've been singing about so well this morning and on who he is and what he accomplishes. In Psalm 59 and verse 17, I'm not going to go through all of these texts. I'm just going to highlight some thoughts out of them. Psalm 59 and verse 17, it says, oh, my strength, I will sing praise to you. Oh, God, you are my fortress. Oh, God, my strength. Isaiah 49 and verse 5 finishes with, and God has become my strength. Jeremiah 16 and verse 19 starts out with, oh, Lord, my strength and my stronghold, my refuge in the day of trouble. You see, when you're trying to do things on your own, when you're trying to pick up the pieces, when you're trying harder, Lord, give me strength. And it's like, okay, and now I've got to perform. Now I've got to do. You lose sight of the one who is in charge, the one who is on the throne, the one who is my stronghold, the one who is my refuge in the day of trouble. And maybe you're in the midst of a day of trouble. Maybe you got out of bed this morning and it was like, I don't even know if I want to go to church today. Like, it's just so much going on. It's just so hard right now. God is your strength in your day of trouble. And we need to be reminded of that. We need to keep our eyes focused on that. In Psalm 28, verse 7, the psalmist there said, "The Lord is my strength." Psalm 46 and verse 1, a very famous passage of Scripture says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2 says, "I love you, O Lord, my strength." In the New Testament, in Ephesians 6 and 10, it says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." You see, when you're trying to do things on your own, you're trying to just push through something, and you're not being strong in the power of his might. And eventually it collapses. Eventually it's not enough. And we need to go back and seeing who God is and his character and all that he's done and all that he's designed for us. And we see that he is our strength. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, just part of verses 7 to 9, this is Paul talking. And he's prayed three times that the Lord would take away his thorn in the flesh. What that thorn in the flesh was, not totally clear in Scripture. We don't know exactly what it was. What we know is that three times he asked God, "Would you take that away? Would you take that away? Would you take that away?" And each time the Lord's, "No, I'm not, because if I do, you'll become conceited." That's basically what God says to him. God says, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness." Why? "So that the power of Christ might rest upon me." I will boast more of my weakness so that the power of Christ might rest upon me. That journey that you're going through, that thing you need to lean into the Lord right now, where you're asking him to be your strength. A God working through that is a testimony to the world to see of how God works and how he sustains us and how he is the one. And it's not your performance. It's what God is doing. It's how he is doing, what he is doing. I'd summarize it this way. When God is my strength, then he gets the glory. When God is my strength, then he gets the glory. When I ask God for strength, then I might be tempted to take some of the glory for myself, or at least not attribute it where it belongs. So God, give me strength. Would you just give me strength to deliver this message at this church this morning? Would you just give me strength? And I get up and I do my dog and pony show and I go out the door and I go, "You were pretty good today." As opposed to having a better understanding of what we're here about. And it's, "Lord, would you take the words? Would you do what only you can accomplish?" So that when I walk out the door, it's like, "Oh my goodness, you took the frail old man, took him up there, and you used him, and people's lives were impacted, encouraged, because God, you did a work." How does that look in your life? I can use an illustration of preaching a sermon, but what does that look like in your life, in your workplace? Do you live your life in your workplace for the glory of God? Do you live your life in your family for the glory of God? So that people look and they see what God is doing and they say, "Look what the Lord is doing. Look how God is working. That's so beyond what that guy could ever accomplish on his own. I'm so thankful to God for how he is working." If I ask God to give me strength, I wrote it this way. When it's my strength, it makes me try harder. When I ask God, give me strength, then I'm tempted to try harder. And that can lead to disappointment or confusion or even dissatisfaction. But when I ask God to be my strength, it causes me to depend more. It causes me to get my focus on, "Lord, you have to do this. You have to be the one." And I hope you can see that difference, and I hope it resonates with you as you try living in our world when it's all about accomplishment and doing and all the rest, and it's not about the glory of God, it's not about who he is, it's not about what he does, that we would learn to get our eyes fixed on him, the one who's the author, the perfecter of our faith, the one who drew you to himself in salvation, that we'd be people of God, that desire God, you are my strength. present help in trouble. Well, does that mean we don't have any responsibility? No, we do have a part, and Scripture teaches us about that. That's one verse I want to make sure, I want to keep some balance here in this. It's not just lay in your bed and ask Jesus to do everything, and you don't do anything, right? In Mark 12:30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. So we have a part. We have a part in this. God uses us. I'm amazed how God works and how he works through frail. And he calls us his ambassadors, ones who are his representatives, him making his appeal through us. So we have a part. My challenge today for us is don't get too focused on who you think you are and get your focus more and more on the glory of God, how awesome he is and what he's accomplished for you. And ask him, Lord, you be my strength. You be my strength. So my inclination is to give him the glory and not pat myself on the back or look at what I've accomplished. Strength for the journey comes from recognizing the source of our strength. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing. Strength from the journey comes from passionate worship. Strength from the journey comes from passionate worship. And in verses 1-4, sing aloud to the God our strength, shout for joy to the God of Jacob, raise a song, sound the tambourine, the sweet lyre with the harp, blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon, on our feast day, for it is a statute for the Lord, a rule of the God of Jacob. If we're going to have strength for the journey, we need to be passionate worshipers of the one who is our source, who is our strength, who is our salvation. Are you a passionate worshiper today? When you came into the room today, I don't know if you're junior hockey fans or not, but you know, Canada won once again. What's the difference between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Canadian junior hockey team? The Canadian junior hockey team actually wins something, right? So, and if you're a junior hockey team fan, you were probably in front of your TV watching that game. And when they scored the goal, you probably screamed and shouted and all the rest. Maybe you're not a hockey fan. Maybe you're a soccer fan or some other sport. Or you have a thing that you get all wound up about and you get excited about it. And yet when you come before the Lord, it's kind of like, people who experience the strength of God are people who are passionate worship. We are all worshipers. Everyone in the world is a worshiper. And today in your life, you worship something or someone. Sometimes it's following a person and you've got this worship thing for a person who's out there who's a great leader or whatever you think is, and or maybe your passion and what you worship is fame, your name being known, whether it's in the workplace or on a billboard somewhere, your passion being about having money, and you live for money and you worship money. We all worship something. Everybody does. And we wrestle with it in our lives. And we wrestle with even God being the priority of that in our lives. If we're honest with ourselves, I wrestle with it. We all wrestle with it. There's so much to entice us. And what's first on your hit list? What's first on your priority? Does God come first? I found myself in the last year or so saying these words because it helps me. It goes, that's a first world problem. That's a first world problem. I don't have enough money to do that. First world problem. I don't have the resources for this. First world problem. I don't have this piece of equipment. First world problem. Most of the people around the world don't have most of what we have. And yet they're more satisfied with what they don't have than we are with what we have. And so what do you worship today? Because in this text, he talks about our worship. True worship is focusing on God. It's reveling in him. It's expressing that overwhelming passion for him. Worship is more than music. That should impact us. It should impact us, our lives. But in this text, music is a big focus of the worship. But my life is an act of worship. When I'm crying out, God be my strength, I'm crying out, God, I want my life to be an act of worship for you. And so whether it's here on a Sunday morning when we lift our hands and we lift our voices, we clap our hands, we rejoice in what God is doing, that's all part of our worship to the King of Kings. But our worship needs to be focused. Focused to the God of our strength, as he said in verse 1. It involves every part of us. In the text, it talks about singing and playing instruments. It's, in some cases, it's loud. There's shouting and tambourines going off in this and trumpets that are blasting and cymbals and high-sounding cymbals in the Psalms in Psalm 150. And so we see worship in a corporate sense where we come together, and it's amazing things when the body of Christ sings psalms and hymns to one another. That's what the scripture says. And so we do that in a corporate worship sense. And it's so important because it helps us to be encouraged in the Lord and see brothers and sisters walking together. And we're called to be passionate worshipers. It is a corporate thing. And it's important that we do it together. It's why going through COVID in some ways was so difficult, because we could still hear a sermon on the word. We could even have a prayer time, but the worship was just lame. Well, maybe yours wasn't, but everywhere else I went, it was just like, something's missing. Something's missing. And so we have that privilege for corporate worship, but corporate worship isn't just something you do. It's not you walk in the door, you sit down, you turn on a switch, and now let's go for Jesus. It's part of our life. It's corporate, but it's also personal, and it's private. And so how are your times of worship with God? How have they been this week? I've started a new reading plan. Each year, my wife and I, one year we do the whole Bible, and the next year, which is this year, we do the New Testament and Psalms and Proverbs. It's just a thing we do, and I'm a bit of a keener on that stuff, and so I like to be ahead because I don't want to get behind. But, you know, just reading through the book of Matthew, and so you start out, you go through the story of Jesus Christ again, and then reading through the Psalms, and just being blessed by them and encouraged by them. It's part of our worship. We're going to come to the Word in just a minute, but how's your worship? How is it? Do you forget about God from, you know, small group until Sunday, and then from Sunday until small group again? Or do you have a plan? Do you have a time where you're focused in your worship that causes you to be thankful to the Lord and cry out to Him and pray for other people? And it's expected from God. God expects us to be passionate worshipers. It says in verse 4, for it's a statute from Israel, a rule of the God of Jacob. That God's rule is that his people would worship him. And when you want to cry out to God to be your strength, you want to cry out to the God you've been worshiping, the one you've been lifting your eyes to, the one you have been exalting, as we just sang before I came up. He deserves it. He's the only one who deserves it. He is the creator. He is the sustainer of the world. He is the sustainer of life. He's the one who provides our salvation. He's the one who is our hope. Strength for the journey comes from passionate worship. And maybe you just need to, before the Lord, even while I'm preaching, go, I've lost sight, Lord, of you. And just in the quietness of your own heart, make that right. You get back on that again with a desired plan to see God and rejoice in who he is. Here's the next thing. Strength of the journey comes from remembering the works of God. Look in verses 5-7. He made a decree in Joseph when he went out over the land of Egypt. I hear a language I have not known. I relieved your shoulder of the burden. Your hands were free from the basket. In distress, you called and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you in the waters of Meribah. He gives two illustrations here, but the point is to remember the works of God. Do you take time to remember the works of God? One of the simple things, I may have told you this before, but that my wife and I do every night before we go to sleep is we pray together. We pray together. We pray together for our family. And very few other people get into that prayer time unless there's some emergency or something going on in somebody's life. That's the time we pray for our family. But in that time, every time we thank God for our kids and for their salvation and for their spouses and that they love Jesus Christ and are desiring to raise their kids for the glory of God. We talk about our marriage in our prayer and how God has given us that, and we give thanks to God in that. We thank God for the grandchildren. We have 6 grandchildren, 3 of that we know of who've trusted Jesus Christ, and we give thanks to God for that. And then we pray for the other 3 that one day God will bring them to the place they'll trust Jesus Christ, and we pray for them every day. Every day we pray for them. But in the doing of that, we remember the works of God. That's just one little piece of the works of God. I get the privilege to be the Canadian Regional Director for the Great Commission Collective. Your church is part of it. And I get to drive around and go to places and see what God is doing, how he is working, how lives are being changed. The stories of baptisms in your church. I talked to the pastor up in Parry Sound before Christmas. This little church up in Parry Sound baptized 20 people last year. Amazing. Awesome, the work of God. I hear stories like that all over the place of how God is working, and we need to remember the stories of God, the stories that are in this text. One is the story of Egypt, how God took the people, and through his time and his way, he delivered them. He was in control. They didn't understand it, but he was working. He was protecting the nation, God at work. The story of the water at Meribah when the people were angry and bitter and they cried out to God and they wanted water and Moses was leading them and they were being tested and all the rest of it. And God provided for them even in the testing. And if you want to read about it, you can in Exodus chapter 17. But he said in verse 17, verse 7, it says, "And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of the Lord, because they tested the Lord by saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?'" They were testing God, and God provided for them. And so the psalmist, as he's writing, he remembers these 2 stories of God's work, of his working, so that they would not forget the working of the Lord. How do you remember the working of the Lord in your life? That's an important thing. If you're asking God to be your strength, why would you ask someone to be your strength if you haven't rehearsed how God has already been faithful in those things? And so asking God, be my strength, God, be my strength. And there are so many things you can start with. One of the things you can start with, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ here today, you can start with how God brought you from darkness to light. Right? There's none righteous, not even one. No man seeks after God. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. When you were dead in your trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2 says, God made you alive in Jesus Christ. We need to remember the work of God. Remember his faithfulness. Remember his caring. Remember that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, so that you could have life. And you came to that place in brokenness of, "I can't do it, Lord. I can't. I can't try harder. I can't measure up. I fall short all the time. And the work of Jesus Christ is the only sufficient thing that there is for me. And so I put my trust in Jesus Christ alone for my salvation. I'm going to transfer my trust from all the works I can do and put my trust in Christ alone, because that's where my hope is." And you remember the works of the Lord. Do you remember the day you trusted Christ? Maybe you can't remember a specific day. Maybe you see it as part of a journey and you came to that place and you look back and you go, "Of course I trust Jesus. Of course he did that work." But do you remember that? Do you rejoice in it? I was 8 years old when I trusted Jesus Christ. I just heard a message on preparing for a trip. And I'm an 8-year-old kid and I like, what's he talking about? I went home, I asked my mom. And she reiterated what I had learned in that message about what Christ had done, preparing for a trip, going to heaven. And you need to be ready for the trip. You need to put your trust in Christ. I'd never done that. And that day, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I can go back, put that stake in the ground. That's what Jesus did. That's what he accomplished. Do you remember the work of God in your salvation? If you can't, then you need to take a look at your heart and your soul. And am I a follower of Christ? Have I trusted Christ? And today, trust Jesus Christ. But most in the room, that will be your story. You'll have a story, whether it's 8 or 18 or 28 years old, and God brought you to the place where you trusted Christ. He says, remember the work of God in your salvation. Remember the work of God in his provision for you. Remember the work of God in the job that you have. Remember the work of God in the health that you have. Remember the work of God. We have communion in our churches on a regular basis, and do this in remembrance of me, Jesus said. And so as Asaph's saying to them, you need to remember, it's important. It's important for us as followers of Christ in our remembering, in our salvation, in God's deliverance, in his protection, in his care. Strength of the journey comes from remembering the work of God because it gives us a foundation on which we trust as we move forward. Here's another thing. Strength for the journey comes from listening to the voice of God or listening to God's voice. Strength from the journey comes from listening to God's voice. Look what it says in verse 8. Hear, O my people, that's listening, while I admonish you, O Israel, if you would but listen to me. There shall be no strange god among you. You shall not bow down to a foreign god. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. And then down in verse 13, oh, that my people would listen, that Israel would walk in my ways. Do you feel like God's a long way away today? Now, maybe there's sin in your life, and because of that, the fellowship is broken. There can be other things. Maybe you're just going through a hard time in your life and the journey is difficult. But over and over in this text, he says, listen, listen, listen. Have you stopped listening? One of my wife's pet peeves with me, I only use my wife in good illustration. So this is actually a good illustration about her. It's about me. And she'll say, are you listening? Are you listening? Some wives looking at husbands. Do you listen? I have, you can't see them from where you are. I have hearing aids, and my hearing aids have Bluetooth, which is amazing. Except when I'm supposed to be listening, and I'm listening to something else that's going on. And she's like, are you listening? And I'm like, oh, just a minute, and I'm panicked on my phone to turn off whatever I'm listening to. And I wish I could always say, well, it's always worship music. And therefore, you know, it's like, well, it's not. It might be a news story or some useless thing. And she's like, do you listen? The other challenge I have is I'm a good hearer, not always a good listener. And God, in his grace, has given me a gracious wife who helps me with that. Are you listening? Are you listening to the voice of God? Are you listening to what he is saying to you? The strength of the journey comes from remembering the works of God, but it comes from listening to God's voice, listening to his voice. Three times in the text, God tells his people to listen. In verses 8 to 9, listen to me, and as a result, there's singular worship when you listen to God. In verses 11 to 12, listen to me, and as a result, you submit my way. You're just committed to, Lord, I'm going to do what you want. I'm committed to what God wants for me. And maybe God has been speaking to you, and you're only quasi-listening because you're not responding and doing what God's called you to do. And so in verses 11 and 12, listen to me, and as a result, you submit. Verses 13 and 14 is look at the passion that God has for us. Oh, that my people would listen. I read that a few months ago, and I was struck by the weight of that sentence, where God is saying to Paul Whittingstall, oh, that you would listen. And maybe God is saying to you, I have been telling you, I have been telling you, and God's cry for you, his passion for you, his heart for you, is that you would listen. And true listening brings with it obedience, it brings with it a response, it brings with it a result, that you would walk in my ways. Well, how do I listen? Well, some primary ways: you listen through the word, you listen through hearing God's word, and the challenge that comes from it. If it is God's word, then we need to be focused to it. And when God says to us we need to do something, then we need to listen and we need to walk in his ways. We also listen through prayer. When we're coming to the Lord and we're crying out to him, settled in the word, and then praying and asking God for what he would have us do, and then we're listening. Be still and know that I am God. There's quietness that happens as we listen. We also listen to God through the body of Christ, through the church, through one another, as we sing psalms and hymns to one another, as we spur one another on to love and good deeds, as we admonish or correct or encourage one another. We listen. Listening to godly voices in your life. Maybe you're on a journey right now. You're trying to figure out what you should do. And the Bible doesn't tell you specifically what to do, but it gives you some principles. And one of those is to get wise counsel from wise counselor who lead you from the word of God. And listen, the Church of Jesus Christ is not our idea. The Church of Jesus Christ is God's idea. And Christ is the head of the church. And so as we are together, we need to learn to listen to one another. Listen to the message, listen in the songs, listen to the way you can spur one another on. Strength from the journey comes when we listen to God's voice. We do it through listening to the church. Now, J.D. Greer said, Christ is the head. The body is how the head does the work. Christ is the head of the church. The body is how the head does the work. And so, are you a listener? Are you getting strength from the journey because you're listening to the voice of God? And then two more things quickly. Strength from the journey comes from considering the consequences. Consider the consequence of not listening. Look over in verse 12. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsel. Now, that's what happens when we don't listen. I want to give you just one illustration of this. You can read it this afternoon if you're taking notes. 1 Samuel 8, 4 to 22. The people said to God, we want a king. We want a king. And so Samuel's caught in this, trying to help the people because he knows that's not the right answer to the question. They already have a king. It's the Lord God. They go, no, they saw the other nations around them, and we want the other nations around one. Hey, isn't that like us? We see all that goes on around us, and I want that, and I want that, and I want that. And God goes, no. I am your Savior. I am your hope. Get your eyes on me. But they couldn't do it. They're like, no, the other nations have kings. Appoint us a king to judge us like all the nations. In other words, everyone else is doing it, so we should do it. That's our world today. That's what you face every day. Everyone else is doing it, so you should do it. And Samuel struggles with this, and God says to him, for they have not rejected you, but they rejected me from being the king over them. And so then the dialogue goes on, but the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, but there shall be a king over us, that we also may be like the nations. And the Lord said to Samuel, obey their voice and make them a king. And Samuel then said to the men, go everyone to his city. The end result of that is, you want what you want? Go ahead. But wait and see how that works out for you. See, maybe God has given you something you know you're supposed to put away, you're supposed to deal with, and you won't put it away and you won't deal with it. And God's like, okay, you want what you want? You see how that works out for you. They wanted a king because they didn't want God to be their king. And as a result, they found themselves in all kinds of distress and struggle. The nation gets split. They go off into judgment in different places. The Assyrians, the Babylonians, all of this because they wouldn't obey the Lord. Maybe that's been your story for too long. You want your own thing. You want your way. And you're rejecting what God has given you. You want what you want so much that it's impacted your listening and your doing. In verses 14 and 15 of Psalm 81, it says, I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe toward him, and their fate would last forever. If you would just obey the Lord so that he could pour blessing out on you, doesn't mean your life will be easy, but he will be going with you. He will be your strength. He will be your helper. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. And another statement that's not a Bible statement, but it's true. You choose to sin, you choose the consequences, right? You choose to suffer. You choose to sin, you choose to suffer. And that's what they wanted. They wanted their own way. They wanted their own way more than they wanted God's way. Well, here's the last thing. Strength of the journey comes from finding satisfaction in God's promises. You want strength for the journey? You'll find it by having satisfaction in what God promises. Look at the very last verse. But he would feed you with the finest of the wheat and with the honey from the rock. I would satisfy you. I will take care of you. When you stop trying to play God in your life, when you stop trying to put yourself first, when you stop trying to be the king over your circumstances, when you allow God to be your strength, he will satisfy you. Are you satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ today? Do you find your satisfaction in him? Do you find your hope in him? Do you find your, let's go on for another day for the glory of God in him? Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God, I don't need you to give me more strength today. I need you to be my strength. Because when you're my strength, my perspective is right. When you're my strength, my hope is found in the right things. When you're my strength, I'm striving forward for the glory of my Savior, Jesus Christ. And the journey I go through and the difficult things I go through, Lord, I need you to be my strength because I can't do it. But you can. Well, so what? So what? Here's my question again for you. Who or what are you trusting for strength? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, some of the most famous verses in the Bible say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. Strength for the journey comes from passionate worship of our God. Strength from the journey comes from remembering who he is and what he's done and getting our eyes focused on that. Strength from the journey comes from listening to God and responding to it. Strength from the journey comes from understanding the consequences. I don't want the consequences, Lord. I want you. I want you. And strength from the journey comes from the promise that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word today. I thank you for this psalm. I thank you, Father, for the writer, Asaph, a worship director, a worship leader who had passion for you, Lord, and could have found his hope in his ability and his gift. But over and over in his psalms and in this psalm, he's like, Lord, 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 I need you. I need you to be my strength. God, help me to remember. Help this frail servant to remember that, God, what I do will not be for eternity, but what you do will be. Father, I don't need to ask you to give me more strength, Lord, although we know there's a difference between those things. We need you, God, to be our strength so that our eyes are more and more fixed on Jesus Christ, fixed on the author, the perfecter, the finisher of our faith, that we would have eyes that lift up Jesus Christ, that we would have eyes that give you the glory, that we would have eyes that extol you, because you are God, you are awesome. You are the creator of the world. You are the sustainer. You are the one who called me. You're the one who saved me. You are the one who does that work, Lord. Teach me, Lord, more and more every day to cry out to you to be my strength so that I give you the praise and give you the glory. All of this we pray in Jesus' name.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.